It is a common experience of every person that in life we come across that which is pleasant and we come across that which is unpleasant. And of course, when it's pleasant, we're very happy, and then maybe in the back of our minds we're thinking, I hope it doesn't end. Fearing that probably it will end. And then when it's unpleasant, then it puts us in a fearful, unpleasant situation. And so every being is a pleasure-seeking being, which means that we all cannot exist in the situation of discomfort, whether it's a mental discomfort, physical, emotional, ultimately spiritual. So we all seek for solutions. We seek for solutions individually, and we seek for solutions collectively. Now, what is interesting, Srila Prabhupada gave two analogies that point out a problem. One analogy is that of a person jumping out of a frying pan into the fire. So you can just imagine there is fire, then on the fire there is a pan. And in the pan there is oil. And due to the heat coming from the flames, the pan heats up, which heats up the oil, and you're in it. And when it gets hot, you're thinking, oh my goodness, I need to get out of here. And then you jump out, but you simply find yourself in the flames of the fire. So Prabhupada said, you can jump out of a frying pan into the fire. The other analogy, does anyone know some other analogies in regards to this from Prabhupada? You're an avid Prabhupada reader. Dunking? How's that?
Getting the breath of air.
But in the sense that you're jumping.
Oh.
You're jumping from, you're switching situation, but you find yourself in, okay, it's a different situation, it's not frying oil, frying pan. What's the difference? I mean, it's not the boiling oil, but it's the flames of the fire.
You go from bad to worse.
From bad to worse. Another analogy Prabhupada gave is that of a person carrying a load on the left shoulder. And then a person's carrying that load for a while and says, man, this is painful. Then what does he do? He shifts it over to the right shoulder and says, oh, life is nice. But after some time, it's the same load. And then so the experience repeats. Why these analogies? Because we all seek solutions. We all have one thing in common. Like every single being, we seek solutions. But it's interesting how few people are capable to think outside of a given category. Hardly anyone, in all honesty, before I came across Srila Prabhupada's books, I have never, ever, ever thought or heard or read of a different category. It was always solutions within the same category. In other words, solutions were always, well, jump out of the frying pan into the fire. You know, shift the load from the left shoulder to the right and you will experience relief. And so hardly anyone, it seems to be almost impossible that the boundaries of illusion are so formidable that people, even sometimes devotees, even sometimes those who are practitioners of Krishna consciousness, have a difficulty of comprehending the categories and just stay within the same category, searching for the same, for the solutions within the same category, not understanding that what needs to take place is a change of category. Within the material domain, there is no solution. There is no material solution to material problems. There is no spiritual solution either to material problems. You have to change the category. And it takes some guts to do this. As long as we try to, make the adjustments within the physical realm and thinking, okay, this is the solution. It isn't. All it does is simply postponing the same problem. I'm not saying that there is no place for making changes within the physical category, because we are stuck with the physical body, within the physical creation, at least for the time being. So there is place for that, but to expect from rearranging matter, to expect a lasting solution is, I would say, insanity. Prabhupada gave another example, which those of us who are city boys and girls may not be able to relate to. But some goats, most goats, have nipples growing out of their necks, like just behind the jawline, like here. And Prabhupada said, you could be milking those nipples as till the cows come home. No milk will come out. So this is important to understand for anyone who's actually seeking spiritual life, that we have to change the category. We have to understand that material category is one category and spiritual categories is another thing. And ultimately, sure, I mean, everything, I just took an hour to shave 5 days worth of hair, facial hair, and twice scrubbed the body after the 4 or 5 day camping trip. So obviously we're all making different physical arrangements, but to understand the shifting of categories is very important. That ultimately there is no happiness in the material world. Happiness should be sought on the soul platform. Ultimately, even Srila Prabhupada says, happiness should be sought in the spiritual world. Prabhupada said that Krishna himself certified this world as a hopeless place. Dante, right? Dante's description of hell? Yeah. What's Dante's his full name?
Dante Alighieri,
I forget, it's been a while. Can you imagine they had us read that in elementary school? And there was a sign right at the entrance to hell. You who are entering here, leave your hopes out there. That's pretty much accurate description of this place. Those who are coming to the material world, leave your hopes out there. Well, I don't mean to sound like a depressing fellow, but the point is, it's depressing to me to see that people enter hell and expect heaven. If you go to a really, really bad neighborhood, you should expect to be mugged. And if you don't get mugged, you should be dancing in ecstasy. It's extraordinary. So similarly, we have come to the material world. Yeah, I mean, I was Alright, I won't say that. Maybe I'll... Because we're very close to dinner time, so I'll say maybe after the dinner. Or maybe I'll say it now. Yeah, apparently every third person is suffering from piles. You know, piles, a swollen vein, hemorrhoid, it's horrible. I mean, no one speaks about that, but it's fine. At least in my family, it's nearly everyone. So, it is very painful, it is really painful for me to see that that people are so hopeful about the place where there's not much hope. And then it's really painful for me to see that, you know, these self-help gurus and all these so-called teachers and altruists and people lovers were actually usually not. Trying to tell people how to adjust the load so they can live happily with the load.
Pingala has to just go out there with a bigger smile.
Yeah, bigger out there. Yeah,
Pingala.
Stoics. You know Stoics? Stoicism? Any Stoics around here? Stoicism? Stoics, it was a movement in Europe. That grew amongst people who just thought life is darn hopeless. And the best you can do is just go into your damnation with a smile. With a smile and what do you call that?
Chin up.
Yeah. So that's really bad. But to actually understand precisely, objectively, what to expect from this realm is actually to be way more happy. There is a seminar I composed a few months ago about expectations. More your expectations go up, lesser experience you have of the very same thing. Now you have one same thing and you have two different people. One is expecting a lot from it, and the other one is expecting nothing from it. The person who is expecting nothing from it enjoys it tremendously. And the person who is expecting a lot from it suffers from it, or due to it. It's the same thing. So to inflate our expectations from this world is actually a bad thing to do. So, Krishna conscious thing is to not expect a whole lot from this world and focus on the spiritual solution, truly spiritual solution, which is not a matter of rearranging matter. And this is something, like, how many, you can ask yourselves, how many people have you met that have managed to think outside of the scope of sense gratification? I have never heard an author, well, a few, very, very, very few, and they were always religious people because they heard that from religion, that they have managed to think outside of the scope of sense gratification. And this is really what the Jehovah's Witnesses say: good news, right? When they we have good news. So we actually do have an awesome news. It's really a great news. And to help people to conceive of a category outside of sense gratification, it's something that religion in general and Krishna consciousness in particular has to offer to the world. And we ourselves and the world, without it, just jumping from the frying pan into the fire, or simply lifting burden from one shoulder to the other. Wish you guys could understand that. Or maybe you do. And one who understands this, it's like you just want to climb up on rooftops and shout to the world, "Hey everybody, there's, I believe in life outside of sense gratification." As a matter of fact, I cannot think of any other problem in my own life or anybody else's life besides the pullings that pull me back into the world of sense gratification. And the funniest of all things is to see people, devotees including, thinking that the basics of Krishna consciousness are basic. For Krishna's sake, for God's sake, it's revolutionary. Actually, one who has grasped this has reached perfection. The rest is just details. What is that verse? Revolution from the first canto? Tadvad visargo janataga viplavo yasmin pratishlokam abhadya bhaktyapi namani anantasya, what is it? Namani anantasya shav nikitanya shri. No, I have just fused two verses. Viplava means revolution, right? These words, tadva visarga janataga viplava, the message of the Srimad Bhagavatam is meant to create a revolution like that. It's meant to create a revolution in our own hearts, and then hopefully we extend that revolution to the rest of the world. So Om Tat Sat. What now? You're the. I hand it over to you. Oh, he's saying if anyone has any questions. Yeah.
So, if you're kind of just stuck in the mud, how do you, I forget what you called it, change your...
Category.
Category. But you're just stuck in the mud, you're on replay, same thing keeps happening. You're faced with that same thing, it's a broken record.
I know. Well, there are devices, like long-term devices, and there are short-term devices to help. I mean, they're both ultimately long-term devices, but I call them short and long-term devices in the sense of how quickly they come to our rescue. Pain is the long-term device. Like, this world is designed in such a way that there's only so much pain we can take. And any form of life outside of spiritual life is ultimately a nightmare. Even the pleasure that, as Srila Prabhupada says, the worst enemy of a sense gratifier is, third chapter of the Bhagavad Gita end. The worst enemy of sense gratifier is
pain.
Pain? No, pain's his best friend.
Pleasure.
Pleasure that one finds in sense, because it bounds that person to the world of sensuality, to the material concept of life. So the pain, ultimately we can take only so much pain before we initiate. Pain will jolt even the most tamasic person, stir him into some action. That's a long term. Krishna designed this world like that. And short term is hopefully devotees. I mean, ideally, you see, what ISKCON is and what tradition is not quite matching. So also our concept of the spiritual master does not quite match the traditional concept of spiritual master. Spiritual teacher is not someone who initiates us. Spiritual teacher is someone who's actively present in our life. So we all need that kind of a figure. And very often that's more than just one person. So besides just having one prominent spiritual master, like a person we truly consider to be the master of spirit, we would do good to also have such a relationship with a number of devotees who would feel that they have a license when they see us stuck, to take action without our approval. Because most of us, even if we're stuck in the mud, they won't do anything unless they feel like, this is my intimate friend, I can go there and just like jerk my body out. It's interesting, even in the Brahmacharya ashram, where you have a bunch of men living very intimately, there's no privacy. And still, unless you have that kind of relationship with someone, it's so hard to... And you can see the person struggling, and you go there and you want to push the person out of the stuck position, and he may get upset, and you just don't want to do it. Sometimes even when you live with someone intimately, you... Phew. You let the person drift off. So these two are sort of outside of the scope of what we can immediately do. And what we can immediately do ourselves, now that depends on how strongly the pattern has been established.
Yeah. Well, then why is he watching?
Do you know, everyone here read Prabhupada's Nectar of Devotion? Nectar of Devotion? Okay, if you haven't, like really seriously buy that book, like now. The best time to buy Nectar of Devotion was yesterday. The next best time is now. how many of you have read with it Waves of Devotion by Dhanurdhara Swami? Okay, half of your life is wasted. I'm kind of kidding, but only kind of. Seriously, you have no clue what Prabhupada's packed it. I thought I knew that book. I made seminars on it. And then when I read it together with Waves of Devotion by Dhanurdhara, I couldn't believe it. I just could not believe how many valuable instructions were there in Prabhupada's Nectar of Devotion. So what you do, you read a chapter from Nectar of Devotion, and then you read the corresponding chapter from Waves of Devotion. And in there, Srila Rupa Goswami describes the cycle of activity and two kinds of reactions to the activity. One reaction is immediate and the other one is not obvious. So the not the immediate one is pleasure or pain, depending on the activity. And the other one is the inclination to do a similar thing again. And so more we loop, more we loop. More the inclination to loop manifests. And so we loop faster and faster and faster. In other words, this is how we get established within a pattern. The pattern gets established. And so it becomes a habit. It becomes sometimes even stronger than us. And so now it depends how strong it became. There are different levels of covering. There's a covering where we see it and we can do something about it. When the covering gets even thicker, we see it but we cannot do anything about it. And when it gets really thick, neither we see it, neither we can do anything about it. Like that's most of the materialists are on in that situation. Neither can they see it, neither can they do anything about it. And if you try to tell them, they'll simply get disturbed. So they have to be cheated somehow. So it depends where are we. But all along, more we cultivate our Krishna consciousness in general, like, sadhana. That's what I meant by cultivation. More we cultivate the culture of sadhana. In other words, like every day I chant, every day I read, and I really urge you all to read specifically Prabhupada's books. In all honesty, there is no match to it. Sometimes Prabhupada says unpleasant things, but it's good. It's really good. So more we have the culture of sadhana, more when we find ourselves in that situation, more that culture will be strong to pull us out. Otherwise, along with it, to cultivate relationships with devotees to where the devotees will feel free to give us a kick or push or pull is good. So of course, this is a general answer because I'm not sure specifically what you thought of, but when you said that, it's something that I don't know of a devotee that has not experienced that, including myself right now. Like there's a long list of things. I can tell you every day I say, today I'm going to do, and then there's a big list. And by the end of the day, Maya cheated me. I only did this, that. You know, when it comes to, like, I just now answered about 40 email messages. The least likable thing in my life. And so, yeah, when, according to my schedule, when the time comes to do the email, I'm like, let's go on hard now. Or something, I'll come up with anything. or some other thing. So, yeah, it's part of the struggle of, what they call it, growing pains? Is that a term, right? Yeah. Growing pains. So more we struggle with this, more we grow. Less we struggle, less we grow. At first I thought when I chant Hare Krishna, because I was reading Prabhupada's books for years before actually for the first time chanting Hare Krishna on beads. And I thought, now when I chant, I mean, it'll be spectacular. Mm-hmm. Then I chanted one round, and then the friends around said, How was it? I was like, man, it was awesome. And then I was lying. I was telling about this, and then I felt like this, and I didn't feel a thing. In other words, I was speaking about chanting of Hare Krishna from the point of view of a sense gratifier. But we chant Hare Krishna has nothing to do with sense gratification. That's why it's boring. But more you chant Hare Krishna as a soul, as Srila Prabhupada said, as a child calling to the shelter of the mother. Now I remember the embrace of my mother. Every time I was in trouble, I would just bury my head in my mother's lap and everything would be fine. Yeah, there was nothing. There was no sense gratification. I was incapable of perceiving anything in the holy name. No sense gratification in it. But that's where Krishna consciousness is hidden. It's a different realm. Is that okay?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So, prasadam time. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.